Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for
I caught my tongue for a second. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution of the current breaking news, culture-matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Oh, man, oh, man. A couple things, right? So Binance is being investigated by the CFTC for, quote, illegal digital asset derivatives, No, that's what they're saying there is. But anyways, so a couple things here, right? So apparently in the CFTC lawsuit, it basically said that Binance was making a bunch of fake accounts and they were trading against their users. We have all the material to cover that today. And then another thing, allegedly as well, is that Binance was helping helping some of their users to get around AML and KYC and all of that. Now, a couple things here. We all know how, you know, if you're new here, you don't know. But if you've been here for a while, you guys know how we feel about how we feel about Binance, right? You know, it is, you know, the most popular, crypto casino. But, fine, right? It's a crypto casino. Totally, you know, understand that, you know, do whatever you want with your money. But the interesting part, though, is that not only are they a crypto casino, they're a crypto casino that is actively rigging the game against their customers, right? So that all came out. Now, I wonder how much of these investigations were incentivized or motivated by the FTX collapse. I wonder how much of these investigations were motivated by Operation Choke Point 2.0. I wonder, right? So whatever the motivations are, the things that have been brought to light in the lawsuit papers are interesting, to say the least. So we're going to get through all that today. But before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti? How you feeling today, bro?
I am feeling wonderful, Nico. Another day in paradise. I'm excited for today's show, not only because we get to provide you guys with the signal, but we got a new co-host in here today, Dell. So this is going to be a litty show. Can't wait to bomb live, boys and girls. No, I'm just playing. Anyways, look, I've said in the past, actually, I'm going to save my little tidbit on the Binance news because I'm sure you guys know how and where I stand on the Binance news. So on the culture today, I am going to actually jump off a few of our written works on our Substack. And it's kind of this idea that Nico and I have been talking about for a while. And I know we've gotten some flack in the past about covering a lot of politics and Bitcoin. And it's just going to go into something that Nico and I talk about consistently, that Bitcoin is power. And the game we are playing here, guys, is a power game. Once you take away the money printer, it's no surprise that those in power want to shut it down. So again, connecting this with this Binance news, Operation Choke Point, all the stuff we are seeing since they shut down SVB and Signature Bank and Silvergate. It's very interesting stuff. And I think we're going to lay out, or hopefully I can lay out a new perspective for you guys so you can fully understand what game we're playing right now. We're playing 5D chess. And if you don't know, now you know. Anyways, let's bring in Dell.
Let's bring in Dell. So to introduce everybody, you guys have seen him before. He's come as a guest, but he is he's a new co-host of Simply Bitcoin. He's going to be dropping original content, original clips very, very soon in the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out, and he's going to be filling in for me today during the news segment. How you doing, Dell?
I'm good. Yeah. Every day is a beautiful day in paradise. We're as close to tomorrow as we are to yesterday. All we have is right now.
Boom. Wow. So deep.
Harsh.
Starting out deep. I love that. All we have is right now. Anyways, everybody, it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. Anyways, everybody, let's get to numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, I also want to tell you about Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. You can use promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a big discount to Bitcoin 2023. I want to go through some of the speaker list. Michael Lewis, author of best-selling of The Big Short, Moneyball, The Blind Side, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Jack Maulers, Casey, creator of Ordinals, Alex Gladstein, Preston Pish, Stacey Herbert, Greg Foss, Matt O'Dell, Lynn Alden, Jeff Booth, Robert Breedlove, and many, many more. You definitely don't want to miss this Bitcoin celebration, Bitcoin 2023. Like I said, promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a big discount. I'm going to do the numbers real quick, and then I'm going to hand it off to Opti because it was a weird transition. The Bitcoin price is 28,345 sats per dollar, 3,528 block height, 783,049 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,296 blocks to halving, 56,951 halving estimate, April 21st, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,407 Bitcoin capacity value, $153 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $547 billion. Anyways, everybody, love you all. I'll see you tomorrow. Opti, it's your show. Dell, hold it down, brother.
All right, I'll do what I can.
Let's go. Well, classic everything is fine meme. Now we're good to go, guys. All right. So for today's numbers segment, this is actually a new story that I think Nico will cover. It's in our Telegram group, but we're not going to cover exactly what the news is. We just got a very good clip come out of this this news segment. So before I give you guys the video, I just want to give you guys some context. So apparently, Texas is trying to pass a bill, Senate Bill 1751, seeking to regulate Bitcoin miners and their electricity consumption. Here you can see on CBS Austin the full story. And again, I think Nico will cover this tomorrow. But that's not what I wanted to cover today. We're not going to break down exactly what's in the Senate bill. I'll leave that for Nico. What we did see come out of this is this really good clip by Pierre Rochard. Personally, one of the people that orange-pilled me in my Bitcoin journey. And before I get into what he's talking about, it was kind of a surreal moment watching this morning, because not only was I orange-pilled by Pierre Rochard, but now seeing him, you know, testifying for Bitcoin mining and what it does for us. It was really a surreal moment. It's like, wow, Bitcoiners are finally making noise where it counts. And who else better than Pierre Rochard to go up there and speak for us Bitcoiners and get that signal spread? So as you can see, here's a Bitcoin tweet or Bitcoin magazine tweet, and it says, watch Riot Platform's vice president of research, aka Pierre Rochard, testified at the Texas State Senate on Bitcoin. And there's a quote, Bitcoin is freedom money and it empowers people. So let's get into this clip, and then we'll talk about some of the stuff that he says, as well as his response to what the bill might do.
My name is Pierre Rochard. I'm the Vice President of Research at Riot Platforms, the largest publicly traded Bitcoin miner in the United States, with our facility in Milam County, close to Rockdale. I'm a first-generation immigrant, and I graduated from the University of Texas in Austin with a bachelor and master accounting degree. Thank you, Senator Kolkhorst, for your work on demand response issues. I believe that witnesses here have adequately represented our views on demand response. I would just add that there is already a 60% limit to prevent concentration in demand response programs, and that this bill would override ERCOT's long-term study on large flexible loads. With regards to Chapter 312 temporary county tax abatements, these abatements have helped attract Bitcoin miners to Texas, and they've created hundreds of rural jobs. Bitcoin miners are the number one employer in Rockdale. Bitcoin miners are also the number one taxpayer to Rockdale ISD. Bitcoin mining is good for rural education. Milam County has record sales tax revenue thanks to Bitcoin miners. Even if you are skeptical of Bitcoin, these abatements have been highly effective at revitalizing rural communities. It is also in our national security interest to mine more Bitcoin here in the United States and take market share away from foreign adversaries like Russia and China. We should not add unnecessary regulatory burdens or raise taxes on this strategic and innovative industry. For these reasons, I recommend to vote against SB 1751. Bitcoin is freedom money. It empowers people so that they can earn, save, and spend their money without relying on or trusting government central banks. Thank you.
Mr. Richard, any questions?
I have one quick.
Absolutely love this. Again, first and foremost, what do I always say? It is our meme world and everyone is just living in it. So again, as someone that got orange pilled by Pierre Rochard and Bitstein in the past, watching the Noted podcast, it was very surreal to see Pierre Rochard testifying in regards to Bitcoin mining, not only because he's just one of the best Bitcoin orange pillars that I've come across, but he's also in the very position at Riot where he has a very intimate relationship on what's going on behind the scenes. And as we continuously tell you guys on the show, Bitcoin is good for the electrical grid. Like, Bitcoin is good for the environment because there's no such thing as a waste of electricity. You know, the Change the Code, the Greenpeace, they're doing their best to propagandize and politicize the use of Bitcoin's electricity use. And here we are, if you bring the receipts consistently, not only is Bitcoin a small fraction of all the energy that is used, but it is incentivizing and furthering the, you know, propagation of good energy in local communities. It brings jobs to your area. And this is kind of what I wanted to talk about on today's numbers, and also on what I'm going to kind of be talking about on the culture segment. And it's the idea of Bitcoin mining and Bitcoin in general bringing jobs to your local area. He was saying this incentivizes education and jobs in rural area, but furthermore, it's this idea that we continuously talk about that Bitcoiners will move to friendly jurisdictions in regards to laws that benefit Bitcoiners. And if you want to prosper going forward into the future, you're better off not fighting Bitcoiners because, again, you can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. And I really like that Pierre brought up the idea of national security interest because we talked about it yesterday and we know the classic FUD line of national security being used as a low-hanging fruit to basically terrify people and make them, or rather coerce their behavior. And I think as an American, you know, I know Bitcoin is a global phenomenon. We covered the TikTok news yesterday. And again, I'm going to touch on this again in the culture, but I think it is a legitimate national security interest for America to maintain its position in Bitcoin. If the powers that be continue to go down this route of basically pushing back against Bitcoin businesses and basically taking away our right to, you know, congregate, use a money that we want to use, basically First Amendment issues, we are going to shoot ourselves in the foot. Again, as Pierre ended this little clip, freedom money for a freedom-minded people. And what else are we here in America? And as much as the powers that be are pushing against Bitcoin and this idea, I know they're tyrants out there. They're acting very dystopian. Bitcoin empowers people. And we know that there is a lot of electricity use out there that cannot actually be used because it's basically isolated. And here we are, we're showing in real time that Bitcoin miners are moving to cheap electricity. They are using electricity that wouldn't go to waste, but would rather not be used. And here we are, Pierre Rochard testifying that Bitcoin is not only bringing jobs, but it is stabilizing the electrical grid. And if you connect this with what we saw last year in the Texas summer, it was a scorcher. It was hot. And we saw that the Texas miners, you know, would shut off their equipment when needed. So the fact that they are coming after Bitcoin miners this year, I really do believe, again, it's more receipts to the idea that all these attacks on Bitcoin are very much just political attacks. And so I think it's very important not only to continue to educate people, but to also put our hat in the ring to spread the Bitcoin signal and show that, hey, we are not hurting planet Earth. We are actually incentivizing and innovating the use of electricity. And, you know, kudos to more Bitcoiners that are taking up the fight and testifying for Bitcoin in the House, in the Senate, and showing those people that are ill misinformed that Bitcoin is good, Bitcoin mining is good, and innovation should not be stopped and regulated by people that are computer illiterates that have no idea what is actually going on. So again, this is more a call to arms to all you guys to continue to put your hat in the ring and spread that Bitcoin signal, whether it's the memes, whether it's creating the content, whether it is just talking to people in the right places at the right times, like we are seeing Pierre Rochard do. So first and foremost, kudos to Pierre. And second, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Texas, because if Texas wants to maintain its position in Bitcoin mining, they should not shoot themselves in the foot and overregulate Bitcoin miners. Anyways, Dell, you actually kind of did do a little video on this that we saw behind the scenes. So what's your thoughts on this video and maybe Bitcoin mining electricity use in general?
You know, it's a really complicated subject. I mean, anything surrounding Bitcoin has it's like Bitcoin is this massive umbrella, and then under that umbrella is a bunch of smaller umbrellas. And energy in and of itself is this enormous umbrella. It was a long time before I understood how it was that Bitcoin mining helps an energy grid. I would hear people say that on podcasts all the time. Like the guest would say it, the host would say it, and the other one, vice versa, would just kind of nod, like, yeah, okay, and then move along. But no one really ever explained it to me. It wasn't until, I don't even know if anybody actually sat down and explained it, but I understood, oh, okay, you want a power plant, whatever it is, running at maximum capacity or as close to as possible. So it's sitting there generating 95% of what it can. You don't want a nuclear power plant sitting there and generating 5%. You don't want to put millions or billions of dollars into this thing and just have it doing very little. So if you've got this thing generating tons of energy, well, that energy has to go somewhere. You don't have massive surge protectors for an entire city size scale type thing. So all of that energy, if it doesn't have somewhere to go, it'll fry power lines. Imagine a surge of energy coming into your home, a lightning bolt. That's what you have surge protectors for, goes into that surge protector, stops all of your things from being fried. Well, miners serve as that surge protector. They can absorb all of this energy when it's there, when there isn't demand, when it's nice out, it's cool, whatever. Or in the case of green energy, it's sunny, it's nice out, the wind's blowing. Maybe you don't have your AC on because it's super nice weather out. Well, what are you going to do with all this energy if it's sitting there? Well, you can turn down the windmills or whatever, or you can just have that go into an actual utility, an actual use, the miners generating the hash rate, mining, securing the network. And these miners, they can go, like, honestly, miners are kind of like life farmers in a sense, because they can go anywhere that energy is at. They can find pockets of stranded energy. They can go to a waterfall. And when the energy is dirt cheap next to free, they can mine. But then once people see, hey, there's infrastructure there, we have this hydro dam that's generating electricity, then the people can move there. Why would people want to move out into the middle of nowhere where there's waterfall and put up a dam? Well, if you have the miners that go out there, they say, we'll put up the dam, we'll front load, we'll get this dirt cheap energy. Then that draws in the population, that draws in the people, and then the miners can move on and then create communities. And it's just like the cycle that happens. And that's all a tiny fraction of the whole energy debate topic under the umbrella of energy, under the umbrella of Bitcoin. And honestly, the best thing that we have going for us is truth. And you've got all these fudsters out there saying, oh, it's bad for the environment. How is it bad for the environment? They got, oh, it burns energy. Really? How does a miner burn any more energy than your Tesla? Are you telling me that your Tesla is bad for the environment? Because if it is, then okay, sure. Yeah, miners and Teslas are both bad for the environment. But I would argue that Teslas are way, way worse for the environment. Why? Because you have to get all these hard to find resources, these hard to find natural minerals that are really hard to find out in the Congo. You've got kids laboring in mines to get all these precious metals, but you don't have that for ASIC miners, or you do to a much lower degree. So, you know, you can take your FUD and you can shove it.
Let's go. Couldn't agree more. It's becoming very clear that the Bitcoin mining FUD, the energy FUD, the climate change FUD, it is all political. And it is, again, back to what we continuously talk about on this show, is coerced behavior. Electricity use is good. It means that society is prospering. And this is all about stopping Bitcoin because the powers that be, at least at the top, know exactly what Bitcoin does. And this disintermediates, or rather destroys, their power, which is backed by the money printer. And I'm gonna use that as the jump off point to go into the culture, because this is what I am talking about today. So thanks for the segue, Dell.
Sure.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
Let's go, guys. So before I get into the culture segment, let's talk about Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin and no taxes. This is why people love it. So Swan has a new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in it today. DM Nico or the Swan team if you have any questions. Anyways, let's get into the culture segment. And as I tell you guys consistently, and I don't know if we said this on the show before, but we did get some slack in the past. We did get some feedback about how we've been covering a lot of politics lately. And the reason we've been doing this is because we understand one simple thing. If you take away the money printer, then you are taking away the power from the politicians and the central planners. And so this is what I want to talk about. And I'm going to link two articles that we dropped on the Simply Bitcoin Substack that are touching on this same idea. So first and foremost, I'm here on Wikipedia, and I want to just, lay out what we mean by politics. And as you can see here, it says politics is the set of activities that are associated with making decisions in groups or other forms of power relations amongst individuals, such as the distribution of resources or status. Now, this is the context that we're using here when we are talking about politics and Bitcoin and power. Anyways, we dropped this article the other day by one of our newest writers, Mike Hobart, and it's called Bitcoin is Power. And Nico and I have had this conversation off air a lot of times. I'm sure we've had this conversation on the show as well. And Mike and I had this conversation back when we were at the mining conference. And it was this idea that you hear it all the time. Bitcoiners are playing for all the marbles. Well, what does that really mean? It means that Bitcoiners are making a power play. And what does this have to do with politics? Well, we are taking away the money printer, which is where they get the majority, if not all, of their power. That and the monopoly on violence. Anyways, I'm going to jump into these articles and connect it to another article that we just dropped, and then kind of have like a real-time example of what's happening. Anyways, Bitcoin is power. So as Mike says, I've been saying it, well, shouting it, I suppose, that everything is about one single thing. And what we're talking about here is power. The power to say no, aka the power of options. The power to be calm in the midst of the storm, aka the power of capability. And the power to choose, aka the power of freedom. Power is what drives this world. And there's also a double entendre, you know, electricity and power. Anyways, that's another little rabbit hole. It just so happens that we lend much of that power to a paper fiat monetary system via trust in said system, a monetary system that is backed by itself, a monetary system that just voted to protect those globally systemically important banks, a monetary system that is building incentive mechanisms that increase vulnerabilities, particularly to those small players in the system, a monetary system that determines that banks cannot be allowed to fail, regardless of their failures, incompetence, and risk management, a monetary system that is willing to watch as greater consolidation of power to the Big Four, with little consideration to how such consolidation invites an assortment of fragilities to the American system. And this means greater risk for you, the average American system. The fiat system has no choice but to seek deeper and deeper levels of centralization and consolidation, and we're at a crossroads. Further debase the currency and avoid recession or a depression, or let the correction hit and then toil and struggle to pick up the pieces. What do you think the choice is here? And as a Bitcoiner, we know exactly what the choice is, and we know exactly where they're going to make their choice. And it's obviously not going to be, as far as I'm concerned as a Bitcoin, the correct choice to really move us into a better world, but further push us down into this dystopian, tyrannical world that we are living right now. So I'm going to connect this with another article that we just dropped and then jump back to Mike's article for a moment. This was by our other writer, The Base Money Tech. And this one's called Money and Power, A Fresh Perspective. And if you see the thumbnail, guys, I definitely reference the Scarface cover on this one for a reason, because we are consistently talking about money and power when we are talking about Bitcoin. What's the meme? First you get the money and then you get the power. And this is what we're talking about. Well, we have the best money in the world. So we are playing 5D chess to take back not only our personal power, but eliminate the power of these monetary demons. Anyways, going into this article. So recently, Jeff Booth gave a masterclass in self-awareness and critical eternal introspection. And this is what this article is basing itself off of. It's a conversation between Jeff Booth and Breedlove. And it's really about what Jeff Booth's perspective is on what is going on in the world. And I know a lot of times as Bitcoiners, we kind of take the very paranoid tin hat wearing view. And I'm not saying it is wrong, but I think there is some value in this idea that Jeff Booth is propagating. And it's that the powers that be, maybe, you know, giving them some benefit of the doubt, even though they are criminals and some of them may be psychopaths, are most likely doing what they think is best. And here I'm going to use Jeff Booth's words himself. So we hear it all the time. Oh, there's a problem. Let's just print money because it doesn't require a lot of work. And then over time, that becomes institutionalized. People on top of the system today could easily tell themselves a lie, saying, if we don't do this, people are going to starve and we have to do it. Those people on top would say, I am righteous to be able to do this and I'm the one that should be able to help. How many times have we heard something very similar come out of the politician's mouth? We have to help them. We have to do everything in our power to protect the little people. Little do most people know that they are really just protecting themselves. So even if we knew the root cause of the problem, and there's no way to solve it from your existing paradigm. What do we say consistently on the show? There's no way to fix the fiat system from within the fiat system. And all of your wealth and power and influence comes from that paradigm, then you would more easily delude yourself to say, I have to be the one that solves this. So it just reinforces and reinforces itself because people want to matter to other people. So I think it's just that the need for belonging fueled by self deception is what is play here. And if you go forward through time and you realize why Bitcoin changes this, you probably talked about this a lot, probably with me too. If you actually had some type of monetary system that had an unchangeable fixed policy, you could break these recurring self-deception cycles that have caused every great society to rise to untenable power and inevitably crash and cause untold human harm for at least the last 10,000 years. Obviously, the premise that a fixed, unchangeable monetary policy solves for this and breaks these cycles is a bold statement. So in this article and in the talk, Jeff Booth goes to prove this out. And there's a given here. Money is subordinate to laws. This is our given. And people will argue this point. They'll say, no, government issues money. Well, wrong. History tells us otherwise. But let's table this point and just start from this as our given. What happens is we put laws in place to essentially protect us, the individuals, from the state. And by doing that, the states that did that had more productivity. The productivity increases in these states with strong laws for the individuals because now people can act as freely as they can and conduct that good or moral work. Conversely, authoritarian governments collect all the wealth and don't allow for strong property rights, and those societies suffer because of this lack of property rights that afforded individuals the assurances of self-interested, cooperative, and collaborative human action. So they live in zero-sum society. So when you had a rule of law and rights to individuals, you had faster growth economies, but over time, because money is subordinate to that process, people with money change the laws. And so over time, you lose the laws that protected those people, because the only way that you can fight the law is to have enough money to lobby and enough power to lobby. So those laws get whittled away over time and the laws no longer protect the people at the bottom and those that are generating the positive sum growth. The laws then instead protect the people at the top, those that reinforce the zero sum society. So now, whether we look at the US or wherever, we are at this axis of broken money, and we know that it has to be more and more broken over time. And that means we know that laws have to be eroded and we have to remove individual rights and freedoms over time. It has to get worse out of that system. This is what we've seen play out throughout history, whether it was through the Roman Empire or whether what we're seeing right now in the US today. If you could control money, then you would win at society's loss. And it was such a power that you went to war to control money. Then in the new money, we reset it and we promise we won't abuse money again. And it just repeats over and over and over. But this is why we keep missing the nuance, because remember, it is the winners that write the history books. Because the winners write the history books, what we didn't see in that whole thing, that whole rise and fall of each of those societies, was the self-destructive money printer. So what does this all mean in the context of Bitcoin? Bitcoin removes this era, the self-deception and the money printing. Through decentralization and trust, we don't need the institutions that deceive themselves and the public into money printing. We place in our hands, every one of us, individuals, our own self-interested monetary policy, where we would only harm ourselves if we change our policy. And so for the first time in history, that can actually break these deceptive, destructive cycles and change the future past of humanity forever. And this is kind of where we summed it up. As Bitcoiners, we often say that the people in power, like Janet Yellen, Jerome Powell, Chrissy Lagarde, Augustine Carstens, and every one of their ilk, or as you know, the base money tech puts here, the scourge of humanity, or the carriers of the fiat plague. And we often find ourselves relishing in the idea of the inevitability of their reign of power and the fact that the more they push, the more they are literally dooming us to what they fear the most. And, you know, we ridicule them and we say, have fun staying poor. The more you try, the more you push, the harder you push, the more people are going to wake up. But this is kind of the point that I really liked about this. Booth suggests a new possibility that at once is more likely and at the same time offers these monetary demons a graceful exit from the current destructive path. Booth sees these people in power positions not as intentional thieves, which they might be, I'm keeping that open, but rather as tragic fools, deceived by their own powers of rationalization, fueled by the same human desires we all feed on, and that is to be loved and belonged and respected and wanting to do good and be heralded for that good and doing righteous work. But this take is both profound and immensely useful. Imagine instead of us just going after their jugular every single day, we start our conversations with a compassionate handshake, as Base Money says, knowing they too are humans. There's a little asterisk there, and want nothing more than to be loved at the end of the day, just as the same as all of us. Yes, of course, some of these people are convicted criminals, but does the thief stealing for his family, avoid starvation, deserve the dagger or compassion handshake? Yes, of course, there are psychopaths, but the majority of people working in this institution really do believe that they're making an impact on the world. So given is correct, that self-deception fueled by the need to belong and to be loved, coupled with the notion that money is subordinate to man made laws, and careful analysis shows that through history this is the case, and Bitcoin, with its unchangeable, self-interested, decentralized proof of work time chain, may very well be the beginning of a new monetary policy that will for once and for all set humanity's course to a future of continued and ever-growing human abundance and prosperity. And as we are seeing the fiat system crumble in front of us, yes, this might take a long time, it is starting to become at least clear to me that maybe there is a fresh new perspective on the idea of money and power. And giving you a real-time example of this, as we covered in the beginning of the week, this TikTok ban right now, connecting that with what the BRICS nations are doing of de-dollarizing, or at least having these conversations, we are seeing this play out in real time. And I really like this summarization by CJ. Go watch the CJTTO that we did with him. He went absolutely bananas and gave you guys fire hose of information. He summed this whole Bitcoin is power idea in one little tweet. And he goes, Russia and China are leading an effort to de-dollarize the world. Since the U.S. has weaponized dollars against Russia, many nations fear losing access to their dollar reserves. Thus, for Russia and China have convinced, or thus far, Russia and China have convinced a coalition of roughly 100 nations to agree to stop using USD. Meanwhile, the United States is blocking the exits, capital flight controls with Operation Chokepoint, as well as attempting to pass laws to keep American citizens from using select internet services with a VPN, with threats of 250K fine plus prison, aka the TikTok ban. And we are all witnessing the death of the dollar. We are all witnessing the death of the money printer, and a death by a thousand cuts. Sadly, the first cut was made by the U.S. government itself. At this point, Americans need to be considering systemic diversification for their portfolios. If not, you would go down bleeding with the federal government. And there is no longer a maybe event of the future. It's happening right now in live, real time. We are all witnessing this right now. Freedom itself is now at risk. There's only one escape, and it is Bitcoin. Plan accordingly. And I say all that to say, essentially, that we for once have been able to take the power back and take it as an individual, host our own money, destroy the power that these people have in the money printer. And if we really are doing what we say we are doing as Bitcoiners, then we are playing for all the marbles. That means that as you stack sats, you are taking back not only your personal power, but your future purchasing power at the same time. What we are doing right now, guys, is a power play as Bitcoiners. And I think understanding that this is the 5D chess game that we are playing, which is what Nico and I continuously talk about, is politics. Politics is power, money is power, and Bitcoin is the best money in the world. Therefore, we are taking back power by destroying the money printer, taking back power on an individual level so that you can prosper, so that your future progeny can prosper, so that we stop getting stolen by these monetary demons. And yes, this might take some time. We're in for the fight of our lives. I know Bitcoin is the peaceful revolution, but I really do believe that we are going to be seeing this comedy, this tragic comedy, play out in real time for the rest of our lives. And you are taking back power for yourself, for your family. And by spreading that power and spreading that information to your friends and family, they will also be able to take back their individual power, their individual freedoms, and they will be able to prosper in this great transition. So as the powers that be push and push harder to control you, they are basically digging their own graves, and more people will wake up to the idea that, hey, I can opt out of this madness. I can opt out of the money printer and save in Bitcoin. Anyways, Dale, did I rant? Am I seeing too far into this, or what is your thoughts on this idea?
No, I'm going to see if I can simplify it a little bit, because that was a lot. That was a lot. But so I'm halfway through Jason Lowry's thesis, the soft war, his whole thing on it. And there's a bunch of things in there, but he goes on for paragraphs and paragraphs explaining these really deep ideas. And what we've had for the longest time is we've got these people that they say, this is where you want to be. This is where all the stuff is. This is the zone where you want to be. And I am the gatekeeper. Literally gatekeeping you from this stuff. They have abstract power. These people, your lawyers, your judges, your kings, they don't have actual power. Like if you put up Janet Yellen versus the mountain, that Hjor Hafsthorn guy, whatever, which of those actually has power? Like if I'm talking about them alone in a room and you say, one of you has to leave alive. Who do you think is going to leave alive? I mean, it's unquestionable who's going to leave alive. The mountain is going to be about 2 seconds, going to rip her head off, like just tear her head off. And you're like, I win. Okay, game over. So he has real power, but she has abstract power. The problem that we've been dealing with for the longest time is that the gatekeepers, the abstract power holders, the Janet Yellens, the August Christens, it's like, that's not a powerful guy. That, I mean, I guess the food has no chance against him. But when it comes to actual power and wielding power, kings, they don't have actual power. They have knights, they've got soldiers, they've got people. That's why in the US military and probably other parts of the world as well, you cannot have, it's legally unacceptable for a general to say anything against a political figure. Because if a general who can wield real power, he can say, hey, soldiers, go and get your tanks, go and get behind your guns, go get your mortars and do something to this state, this person, this politician, they can wield real power. That's why they are not allowed to say anything. That's why when you see a State of Union or these different big addresses, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they have to sit there straight face, poker faces. They can't be nodding and smiling like the other politicians can because they can wield actual power. Well, what we've had for the longest time are these yahoos wielding their abstract power, saying that you have to play our game. These are the two tokens that you have to use. And we were saying, hang on a second. What if we don't have to play that game? What if we can use a different system? What if we can opt out? What if we can use some sly and roundabout way to slowly decrease the use of fiat and slowly increase the use of Bitcoin? And as more money just continually flows from the one to the other, you will just see this transition from people playing the one game where we haven't had an option to playing another game where we do have an option before. That is the game changer. We didn't have an option before. Other people, regular humans, you and I, the everyday people, did not have an option. But now, thanks to Satoshi, we do have an option. And that is our escape hatch. And yeah, damn right we're going to use it, Christine.
Let's go. Absolute bars. Absolutely love it. Couldn't agree more. And it's kind of back to something we continuously tell you guys on the show. The only way to actually take back your power, guys, is to take your Bitcoin into self-custody. And this is where we really disintermediate the power games. And so on that note, you know, shouts out to our sponsor, BitPlates, because if you want to take back your power, you need to take your Bitcoin into self-custody. And don't just put your seed phrase on pieces of paper. You know, you get yourself some BitPlates. It's easy to use. It's hard to destroy. BitPlates dominoes are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases, made by highly coercion resistant 316L marine grade stainless steel, and offering the ultimate protection against the extremes. You need to write down your seed on something that is indestructible, because the only way to really take back your power is to take your Bitcoin into self-custody using the wallets that I say every single day. But I'm going to boil it down to you know, what Laron said yesterday and what I kind of use. Try out Blue Wallet, try out Phoenix Wallet, and this is how you take back your life. This is how you take back your power, is by finally taking your money back into self-custody and stop trusting these middlemen to protect you. Anyways, let's get into the news.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
Let's go, Del.
Yeah, so first, hang on real quick. It's D-E-L, one L, folks. Not two L's. I'm not a computer company. All right, whatever. So over here, we've got CNN reporting on the Binance thing. CZ, who doesn't care about his money, wears a T-shirt. Yeah, he doesn't care about his money. He's taking your money. So you've got the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, or CFTC, suing Binance. So the big picture here, as CNN Business is reporting, the CFTC's lawsuit is certainly not great news for Binance. Oh, surprise, surprise. Or for crypto more broadly. Yeah, but as we all know, Bitcoin doesn't fall really under that crypto more broadly, as these ding-dongs probably think it does. But anyhow, but it's not quite the systemic event that was FTX's collapse. Yeah, maybe not yet, but we'll see. Or even the Terra Luna meltdown. Perhaps the most significant part of the lawsuit is the way the CFTC loudly calls out one of the worst kept secrets in all of crypto, that not only are U.S. customers gaining access to risky offshore crypto derivatives they shouldn't be allowed to access, but it's also pretty darn easy to do. Well, here's the thing. Why is anybody playing these stupid games and trying to win stupid prizes? Well, because the stupid effing prize, I'd like to swear, but I don't know if I can, the stupid effing prizes, fiat, is the dumbest prize that you could ever be given out. That's what you get at every damn casino in every freaking place across the world. Why would you want any of that garbage? Well, it's so that you can buy things that are actually valuable. People don't want fiat to have fiat. It has no intrinsic value. Like, there's no reason to have stacks and stacks of cash unless you need toilet paper or something, or things to throw on the fire. The only reason you want fiat is to buy things that actually matter. Time and a vacation home, an actual home, food, a car so you can get around to doing things, medical care for your children, things like of that nature. That's the only reason people are playing these stupid games. Well, what can you do to ensure yourself not getting playing stupid games? You've got to follow Odell's advice, stay humble, stack sats, and just keep it real simple, folks. If you're out there playing dumb games, as I just mentioned three times in a row, you're going to win dumb prizes. Over here on Twitter, we've got Wolf, who's talking about the Binance is being sued by the CTFC USA for basically having secret in-house trading desk with 300 accounts. This states that Binance is basically trading against all of their users with their quant desk using private transactional data. So they can see where people put their stop gaps and go, oh, let's just do whatever we want to route around that, go higher, go lower, let's make money off of them. We can use all this data. Of course they're doing that. Why wouldn't they? It seems that they also sold it to Merrick Peak and Sigma Chain. TLDR, Binance has insider trading desk with data to all of your stops and have been trading against you for years. Duh. I saw somebody, Corey, was calling this out and saying, oh, here's CZ again. Corey, gotta love him. Just go on full blast on these people. But somebody said they're going to come for you too, Corey. This is some ding dong on Twitter saying that they, I guess the CFTC is going to come after Corey. And I said, what are they going to come after? Corey and all of Swan actively encourage people to take their Bitcoin into self-custody. Never once has Corey or anybody said, hey, leave it with us. We're going to do fun, silly yield games with it. No. They say, we're happy. Like, they're fully transparent. Yes, they make a profit off of the transaction that you pay. That's all up front. And then they say, get your coins off of the exchange. They have ways to do that, expedite it. Yes, there is a waiting period if you do it in through normal routes. But if you do wire or ACH transfer, you can have it within 24 hours. It's really quick. And they actively encourage you to do that. So any of these places that want to hang on to your money because, oh, it's safe with them, just like it's safe with a bank. Yeah, good luck with that.
Oof. Okay. Well, first, guys, I think I have to do the obligatory, don't trust the middleman. Take your Bitcoin into self-custody, like Dell just said. This is the only way to protect yourself from this kind of crazy stuff because, I mean, there's no talks about Binance doing rehypothecation, but we do know that a lot of exchanges out there are doing this very thing and rehypothecating your Bitcoin. And here we have this news from Binance about them trading against their customers. And I said in the past, remember when FTX blew up? I kind of made a little quip. I made a little joke. It's very interesting to see CZ have such an intimate understanding of FTX's problems. It's almost like maybe he was doing something similar himself. Now, he's definitely come out on Twitter and denied any allegations of wrongdoing, but as we've been seeing for a long time, this wouldn't be the first time that exchanges are doing this very same thing. So if Binance does, actually come out and be found guilty, then this is not looking good for not only the shitcoin space, but for CZ and Binance themselves. And this is why we just continuously tell you guys to take your Bitcoin into self-custody. The longer you leave your coins on exchanges, the more that this shady stuff can happen on the back end. And you never know what is going on their platforms. And this is why you always want to call their bluff and just take Bitcoin into self-custody. And, I'm glad that Dell brought up Swan, because this is why we love them so much, is because they continuously tell you guys, look, don't trust us. Take your Bitcoin off our exchange and take it into self-custody. Like, this is the way, this is how you protect yourself from all the madness that we've seen, not only in the crypto space, but in traditional legacy financial systems. Again, how many times have we said on this show that the crypto world, the shitcoin world, is basically just the fiat world on steroids? So how do you call that bluff is by taking your Bitcoin into self-custody, using the wallets that I continuously name every single day, whether it's Seed, Signer, Cold Card, Jade, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Sparrow, Spectre, Bitcoin Core, Phoenix, Breeze, Moon. So many options out there, and you're going to have to make the trade-offs for yourself. You need to take your Bitcoin into self-custody. This is the only way to fight against this kind of madness and call the bluff of all these people doing shady stuff with your money. Like, this is why we are in the position that we are in. And this is just kind of more credence to the meme that Odell always talks about. Stay humble, stack sats, guys. Like, you should not be out there trading your Bitcoin because not only is there exchanges wanting to trade against you, But all the shitcoiners are actively working for ways to take your Bitcoin. So if you do trade, just know that you are most likely going to lose your shirt. The odds are against you. And the best way to navigate this great transition is not going into risky, you know, risky trades right now. It is to find ways to store your value long term and then provide more value so that you have a bigger sat flow. Like a bigger cash flow means you get more sats. Providing more value means that you are getting more sats. And the only way to really traverse where we are heading is to make sure that your Bitcoin is in self-custody. Right now is not the time to get into risky shitcoin trades. To now is not the time to have your Bitcoin on exchanges. You need to take that into self-custody. Your money's not safe anywhere else besides self-custody, like full stop. Make sure you do that today and you can protect yourself from this madness. Anyways, let's get into everyone's favorite portion of the show, the meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Let's go, guys. So as you know, this is the meme review where you guys send your memes to me, tag me on Twitter, send them in our Telegram group, and I will find the good memes and put them on the show. We are limited to a few spots, but hey, keep tagging me, keep sending me the memes because we are in an information war. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery, and you guys are the frontline soldiers. So continue to ridicule the BS coming out of the corporate press. Continue to put art or truth and art and spread the signal. Continue to make us laugh so that people get the signal any way possible, because it is some dark and trying times out there. And hey, humor has a very magical effect on the human psyche. Anyways, this first meme, again, sometimes the memes write themselves and all you have to do is just connect the dots and make a little quip on Twitter, as Anil said so does here. And he goes in a tweet, the first step of shooting fish in a barrel is to get the fish in the barrel. And what he's talking about, he's got a few screenshots here. And the first one is by the Bank of England, and they are endorsing a digital pound and how the digital pound will be designed for everyday payments by households and businesses. And, you know, the benefits of their digital pound, aka their CBDC in England. And then this next screenshot is the European Central Bank, and they go on to say, our priority for the digital euro project had always been clear: to preserve the role of public money in retail payments by making it available in digital form along cash, says ECB member Fabio Panetta. And then the next one, we have the Federal Reserve. And what are they talking about? Oh, they're talking about, what is a central bank digital currency? A CBDC is a digital form of central bank money that is widely available to the general public. And then, oh wait, what do we have here? Another tweet by the Bank of Canada talking about, more and more Canadians are using digital payment methods in our role in supervising retail payments. Again, it's something we continuously talk about on the show, is that they always angle this as, oh, we're just here to improve digital payments, make your money move quicker. You know, we're trying to protect the retail customer. And in reality, we know what they're doing. Again, I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat, but it does seem like a controlled demolition, because they understand that the fiat legacy system is in trouble and they need to corral you into their CBDC. And again, he adds, follows this up with another tweet, and it goes, lol, ECB telling the truth for once. The digital euro, our money wherever, whenever we need it. Again, the first step of shooting fish in a barrel is to get the fish in the barrel. Do not opt into the CBDC system. It is Bitcoin or it is slavery. Bitcoin is freedom. And this is the message that we continuously try to spread to everyone that will listen. Anyways, this next meme is again on the same thread. This one's by @TheBTCTherapist. And he goes, your money defines you. #Bitcoin. And we got the Morpheus red pill, orange pill meme here. And on the one hand, the blue pill is the dollar. And the orange pill or the red pill is Bitcoin. And you can see on the fiat side, it goes fiat, IRS, IMF, World Economic Forum. What's this one? World Bank. And then on the Bitcoin side, we have Infinity divided by 21 million, Twitter, Lightning, Bitcoin. And we got a cold card and a ledger and the buy Bitcoin sign. And we got Michael Saylor.
What's the second best? There is no second best.
Do not opt into the FedNow instant payment system. And we even have a clown, Peter Schiff, on the bottom. Because your money defines you, choose wisely. It is Bitcoin or it is slavery. Or as Bitcoin said,
you're against Bitcoin, you're against freedom.
This next meme is by Lord Boglin. And this is a classic template here. And it's the, you know, I don't even know where this original picture came from. But it's, you know, an army dude with a gas mask on in what may seem to be the present moment or the future apocalypse that we might be finding ourselves fighting in. And it goes, hey, friend, listen, I know the world is scary right now, but just keep stacking sats. This is the way, guys. Bitcoin is hope. Make sure you are taking your money outside of the system because you do not want to fall with them as they go down themselves. I don't know if you know, but if you've been following along closely the last couple of weeks, the banks don't seem as safe as they used to, especially if you're a Bitcoiner and you are awake to what is happening. Anyways, this next meme is by @Bitcoin_Ader, and he goes, Bitcoin before it is too late. And we got a guy stabbing a normie, and the guy stabbing the normie is the financial system collapsing, and the normie is just sitting there unfazed, like, whatever. And I brought this one on today because this is exactly how it feels when you go out there in the real world. Dell was actually kind of talking about his hat before the show started. He's like, yeah, someone actually came up to me and was like, hey, does that B stand for our neighborhood? He's like, no, it stands for Bitcoin. And the guy's like, okay, anyways, I don't want to talk to you. So it's very interesting that the normie is asleep still out there. Again, I keep referencing the Big Short clip where Steve Carell is walking around like everyone's acting like it's an Enya video. It's amazing how people either are just completely asleep at the wheel or just completely unfazed, you know, just don't care what's going on in the world as long as they got their bread and circuses and their shorts and TikToks and Instagram reels going on. Their dopamine receptors are fried and the financial system's collapsing and they're just like, yeah, whatever. This next meme is by @JoseSBam and he just goes, #Bitcoin. And I know some of you millennials out there remember this toy, the Bop It. Anyways, it goes Bop It and it goes twist it, turn it. You don't have enough Bitcoin. And then the realization, oh my God, I don't have enough Bitcoin. And then you let go of the Bop It as you go stack some Bitcoin. Because again, I think it's important for us to continuously beat the drum that you do not have enough Bitcoin. And this next one is an honorable mention. I just had to put it in because people were loving it. And then, hey, so I get the dunk on Nico for a moment while he's not here. And we got the classic before Bitcoin versus after Bitcoin meme. And look, we got a very young, youthful, naive. Been through battle yet, Nico, and it's before Bitcoin. And then we got after Bitcoin. We got Nico with his long hair and his long beard, just rugged Nico, been through battle. And I really like this one comment. Hold on, let me see if I can get it up here. I need an update here. We got this comment by BTC Sessions in here. Where'd it go? Anyways, off the top, there we go. BTC Sessions, this isn't even his final form. Oh my goodness. Before Bitcoin, after Bitcoin. Absolutely amazing. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. Oh, let me see. I don't think I have the epic music in here anymore, or I haven't got it up here yet. Okay, no epic music for you guys today. Anyways, my meme review score today is this DeWalt drill, because we are building. So on that note, you know, shouts out to Becca.
I am building.
All right, Dell, what's your score for today?
A Japanese Oni demon hat.
He's interesting.
Gonna listen to your inner demon as, Socrates or Plato did? It just tells you buy more Bitcoin. That's all it says.
It's telling you to buy more Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's telling you to buy more Bitcoin. Anyways, guys, as you know, shouts out to our clothing sponsor, Represent LTD. On Twitter or representltd.com on the interwebs. We wear the merch every single day. I got the dropping bombs meme t-shirt. I think Dell's wearing the hoodie. They are pretty much all sold out. There's no more hoodies. I think there's only a few t-shirts. Dell told us that he even tried to get one and he couldn't
get two and it could only get one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, they're going fast. We appreciate every single one of you that supported Represent. Anyways, you could use promo code simply-bitcoin to get a discount and get the merch while it lasts, because we still don't know exactly when the next merch drop is going to happen. But hey, it is going fast, and we appreciate everyone that supported Represent and got themselves some Simply Bitcoin theme merch. I can't wait to see you guys wearing it in the wild. Anyways, let me see some of these memes in here. Meme review scores. Okay, let's go. First one is by Elaine. And she goes, score, more Bitcoiners testifying publicly to the wonder, power, and freedom of Bitcoin. I absolutely love it. This next one is by Igor. I give those memes zero fucks. Absolutely agree. Okay, this next one, I think I'm getting trolled in. Bitcoin Becca, I give these memes some screws for Opti. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a double entendre or whatever. Anyways, this next meme is by Opti's Coke from McDonald's. Score, a Bitcoin shield and hat to defend against the monetary demons. Let's go. Absolutely love it. I guess that's all we have for so far today. Anyways, guys, we really appreciate every single one of you guys that hangs out with us every... Oh, wait. One more. Ranmore, I give Jiffy Pop. I don't know what that means. Is pop like soda? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what that one means. Okay. Anyways, guys, really appreciate every single one of you guys. And if you like the show, go check it out in audio only form. We are on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. I know you guys are giving me shit because I keep on forgetting to give you guys the comments, but I did have them on Friday. I just forgot to bring them on the show. So I will cover them next week, or not next week, this week on Friday. I have last week's receipts and I'll bring up this week's receipts. So really appreciate everyone streaming the sats. And this is just back to the idea. It's not just about Simply Bitcoin. It's about getting all the Bitcoin message out there, because the world still doesn't know that Bitcoin is the solution to this problem that we are seeing in the world. The world has given up their power to the monetary demons, and now you can take it back. And so do this today. Take your Bitcoin into self-custody. Glad you guys are here. And we will see you tomorrow for our NOMO show. Dell, glad to have you. I'm excited to move forward. How was your first day? Before we close, how was your first day, bro? How was the first day on the job?
It was fun. Yeah. Good times. Yeah. I liked some, I don't know who it was. I'd have to scroll down, but somebody called me, Dell, the funky Hodl Sapien.
I saw that. That was a good one. That was a good one. All right. Well, guys, we will be back tomorrow. Really appreciate every single one of you guys. And on that note, we'll see you later tonight. Oh, actually, we have an IRL tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Come check it out, and we will continue to give you guys the signal. On that note, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.